Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Happy Tuesday to you all. It is March 19th, 2019, and we are certainly engulfing ourselves into the madness of March. College basketball is all anybody wants to talk about, and that's what we will continue to do on today's current sports. Had a lot of fun talking about what occurred in the Big Ten Tournament Championship game on the Monday edition of WKAR's current sports. If you missed that show, just simply go to WKAR.org to check that out. We invited former Michigan State men's basketball big man Anthony Iani live in studio. Just having Ann on is always fun. We don't always agree. So yesterday was a bit weird because we certainly agreed on how the committee totally botched Michigan State's seeding and region. Everybody agrees with that. I think the only people that don't is the members of the committee. So Ant and I dove into that. We recapped what it was like to be in Chicago at the United Center to witness that win. Quite the moment, folks, and I still feel like I'm catching up on sleep right now. But it was worth it. And now we turn the page and look at the big dance. And on today's show, we're going to dive a bit into the matchup between Michigan State and Bradley. But there are still a few points that I need to make concerning how badly the committee got this wrong. All right. And I want to look at the big picture scheme of things as well. We'll also bring to you audio of Tom Izzo's press conference yesterday as Tom Izzo took the podium for his weekly press conference. This one's special because, of course, it's talking all things postseason now. And we'll play for you a bit of how Izzo felt about his team seeding. And I took you through what it was like to be there in Chicago right after Izzo took the podium. And it started to set in where he was going to play and who was also in that region of the bracket. Let's just say Izzo wasn't happy. And I think that Izzo did a really good job of containing himself. There was a moment where I really thought he was going to pop off and go on a rant, but he contained himself as best as he could and just went along with the media scrum, declining to answer. He addressed it at first and then declined to answer any further questions on the seating and anything about the NCAA tourney. All right. So we'll play to you a bit of Izzo's comments yesterday during his press conference, and then on the back end of the show, and I'm not promising this, but I may get into some Michigan State football pro day news as pro day. You know, this was a story pretty low on the totem pole yesterday, right, because of March Madness, but pro day did take place here at Michigan State University, and I may have a few takeaways if we get to it later on this hour, okay? Multiple ways in which you can join the fun. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, as we will have the live stream up in just a moment. Literally, give me like 2 seconds, all right? And you can tweet the show at WKAR News and tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. I want to start with acknowledging the Michigan State women's basketball team as it was announced yesterday during the selection show. Now, I want to say this before I dive into this headliner, because originally ESPN was scheduled to have the selection show for the women's tournament at 7 p.m. But social media, boy, you gotta love it, right? Somebody leaked the bracket early, and that caused chaos at the worldwide leader, so much so that they said, all right, why wait until 7 o'clock? Let's push it up to 5 p.m. So, and actually, it was so funny listening to a few of the players yesterday talk about how they were at the mall at the time when the bracket got leaked, and then they all got a mass text message from Susie Merchant, head coach of the MSU women's basketball team, saying, guys, get your fannies over here. The bracket got leaked. We got some things to talk about. All right. So some drama yesterday when it comes to the revealing of the NCAA women's basketball tournament bracket. But Michigan State is not traveling far for this first round matchup. They will be a 9 seed and will face 8 seed Central Michigan University. And they will be playing that game in South Bend, Indiana. CMU, of course, the alma mater of head coach Merchant. All right, the Spartans are in the NC2A tournament for the 9th time in Merchant's 12 years and first since 2017. The Spartans the Spartan coach, I should say, and Merchant also played at Central from 1987 to 1991. Merchant is 13-4 all time versus CMU, including having won 12 in a row, but she has never faced the Chips since being at MSU. How about that? MSU's matchup against CMU will be the first between the programs since 2005 and is part of the opening rounds that Notre Dame will host at Purcell Pavilion on Saturday. Notre Dame, the defending national champion, will face Bethune-Cookman in the other opening round matchup, with the winners meeting on Monday trying to earn a spot in Chicago for the regionals. Tip time for the Chips and Spartans Saturday, 1 p.m. on ESPN2. All right, with Bryce Harper making a push land Mike Trout in Philly in a few years, the Angels said not so fast and locked down their superstar. Trout has signed a 12-year, $430 million contract to remain in L.A. This new contract reportedly would add 10 years to his existing deal, making it 12 years in total. There will be no opt-out clause in the deal, according to Bill Shaken of the L.A. Times. Dollar bill, y'all. That is a lot of money. Okay, the Michigan State football program hosted its annual pro day yesterday. 8 players from the 2018 team: offensive guard David Beadle, linebacker Andrew Dow, corner Justin Lane, defensive tackle Jared Owens, linebacker John Reschke, running back LJ Scott, tight end Matt Sokol, safety Kari Willis auditioned in front of NFL scouts and personnel in preparation for the upcoming NFL draft. Wide receiver Felton Davis III was also in attendance for meetings, but did not participate in drills as he continues to rehab from that pesky Achilles injury that he suffered on October 20th against Michigan. The headliner expected to go into the draft, junior Justin Lane, kept his test numbers from the NFL Combine, 4.5 in the 40-yard dash, 37.5-inch vert, 11 feet 2 inches broad jump, 6.9 seconds in the three-cone drill, 4.09 in the 20-yard shuffle. He elected only to participate in position drills yesterday, and 52 personnel representing all 32 teams in the NFL and 3 CFL teams attended yesterday's pro day. All right, Michigan State gymnast Gabriella Douglas and Leah Mitchell have been named to the Big Ten Conference second team, the league office announced. Douglas, a junior, has tallied 6 event wins this season for the Spartans. She has set a new career high on floor 4 times with a season best of 9.925 versus Rutgers on February 16th. And Mitchell won her 4th all-around competition on the season on Sunday, tallying a 39.275. Mitchell has grabbed at least a share of 7 events titles this season to go along with her 4 wins in the all-around competition. Congratulations to Douglas and Mitchell. The Lansing Lugnuts minor league baseball team will take on a new identity for a few games this season. The Lugnuts, we actually have them scheduled to come in sometime this week and show off this new, really, really cool gear. Because from May 3rd to the 5th, the Luggies are planning to use the name Lansing Locos and display the logo of a googly-eyed bird with his tongue sticking out. The logo is actually mad rad. I love it. It represents the Toto, a bird indigenous to Central and South America. The bird's eyes are similar to the Lugnuts' Luggy logo. This temporary transformation will celebrate Copa de la Diversion, or Fun Cup, a program that aims to connect professional teams with their diverse communities. Very cool stuff. And one of those sessions is actually diving into the importance of being bilingual here in America. So awesome stuff. I'm looking forward to having the Lugnuts in studio later on this week. Lansing Ignite, Mid-Michigan's new professional soccer team, will have a Major League Soccer affiliate for the 2019 year. The Chicago Fire will travel to Lansing, actually, to play an exhibition match this fall. So, cool partnership between Ignite and the Fire. The Ignite, ahead of its inaugural season in USL League One, has formed an alliance with the Fire, a move designed for the clubs to share resources and players. The alliance also means that Chicago will provide Lansing Ignite players from its roster via player loans, providing MLS-level talent for coach Nate Miller and his squad. Now, with the partnership comes two exhibition matches. Lansing will travel to Chicago this Saturday afternoon, and the Fire will play the Ignite at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Mark your calendars, Tuesday, September 24th at Cooley Law School Stadium. And with opening day next week, can you believe that? The Detroit Tigers are in the home stretch of spring training. They are in Bradenton, Florida today as they take on the Pirates at Lee-Com Park. Detroit has lost back-to-back games versus Baltimore and Toronto, but just beat Pittsburgh 6-3 this past Saturday. The Tigers are 11-12 this spring in turn to Matt Boyd this afternoon, who is making his fifth start of the spring. On the mound for Pittsburgh is 26-year-old Stephen Brault, who is 1-0 with a 6.30 ERA in four games this spring. The game is currently on the MLB Network, and we will provide a score update throughout this hour. Now joining me in studio to talk a little bit about the Detroit Red Wings, who are in action tonight, we have current sports production assistant Jack Sneveis to rock out this headliner. How you doing, Jack?
I'm good. I'll be even better if the Red Wings lose, to be blunt here tonight. They're coming in with just 10 games to go. The Lose for Hughes campaign well underway. They sit third worst right now, third best lottery rankings. They head to Madison Square Garden tonight to take on the equally struggling New York Rangers, who've lost 10 of their last 11. Red Wings have lost 12 of 14, but there's a big reason to watch tonight. I know everyone's going to be eyes on True TV for Fairleigh Dickerson, Prairie View A&M, the first of the NCAA tournament tonight. But at 7 o'clock on Fox Sports Detroit, former Spartan Taro Hirose is set to make his NHL debut for the Red Wings. Hirose coming off leading the NCAA in both points and assists, signing his contract just a week ago. So there is a reason to watch tonight as the Red Wings head to New York to take on the Rangers.
And you know, Jack, I know that you you are also an announcer with the Big Ten Network, Student U, and so you follow MSU hockey very closely. Taro Hirose making this move to the National Hockey League, did it take you by surprise, or it's something that has been in the works for quite some time and you saw in the future?
I started to hear rumblings in December. It wouldn't surprise me. The only reason he wasn't drafted was because he was undersized. Okay. But this man is, to best comparison I can think of, he's Cassius Winston on the ice.
Really?
He knows where everyone is at all times. His hockey IQ is off the charts. And when you lead the NCAA in points, not by one or two, but by six or seven, I think he finished, it's going to open eyes, turn heads, and that's what led to him signing the NHL.
When the news came out, what was the reaction from Dan Cole?
He was happy. I mean,
he was happy for
him. Yeah, there were players at the signings and everything. I mean, he's earned it. I mean, the team clearly, you know, struggled a little bit. Coach Cole's still trying to turn things around, but, you know, that top line was a bright spot, and Hirose, the brightest of spots for the team. He was just phenomenal all year long, and he earned his shot to get to the NHL.
Awesome stuff. Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, Detroit Pistons, Cleveland Cavaliers. Last night, 126 to 1. What in the world is going on with Pistons? Every time I get high on my Pistons, this happens. They still are in playoff contention, of course, but 126 to 119 to the lowly Cleveland Cavaliers. Not like they have LeBron James and Kyrie Irving still with that team. Both teams were missing some star players last night, though. Blake Griffin was out due to rest, while Kevin Love sat out with a sore back for Cleveland. The Pistons led by one entering the fourth quarter before being outscored by the young Cavs 39-31 in the final frame. The Cavs also finished the final 2 minutes of the game by notching 14 points, most of which came from these clutch three-pointers from Colin Sexton and CeeDee Osman. We have those bites queued up, I believe, right, Jack? And here we go.
Now you got to score if you're holding this long. Sends it. He knew what he was doing for three. Young miss. Cavaliers nursing a one-point lead. Under a minute and a half to go. Sexton going downhill. Kicks it out. Ball screen. Jenny fires. Got it for three. Sexton awaiting the screen. Fires again. Good again! Colin Sexton! Twice in the span of a week. They give it to Jackson. Good night. Cavaliers, a wine and gold winner. 126 to 119.
Yeah, sorry we had to torture you guys with that, Detroit Pistons fans. Colin Sexton added 20. Colin Sexton. 27 points from him. To lead everyone last night, while Wayne Ellington led the way for the Pistons, 25 points. Andre Drummond, 21 points and 21 rebounds. Beastly, at least for Andre last night. The Pistons are in sixth still in the NBA's Eastern Conference. One game up on the Brooklyn Nets and head to Phoenix to take on the second worst team in the league in the Suns on Thursday. Okay, that does it for your quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can join the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can weigh in at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, comment below the live stream, and you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Or tweet the show at WKAR News. We are talking about the NCAA tournament. I'm going to give final thoughts on Michigan State's seeding and region. And then later on this hour, we will play comments from Tom Izzo during his weekly press conference yesterday. So hang tight. Here we go. Does that not get you in the mood for the tournament? I mean, that music, legendary. You know, it just sends chills up your spine. When that music is played in March, you know what time it is. And Bill Rafferty, shout out to Jack Kerwin behind the glass engineering today's Tuesday edition of Current Sports for getting Bill's drop in on the show along with the CBS NCAA men's basketball tournament music. Oh, I love it, folks. So, I got to get some stuff off my chest, and I kind of did it yesterday, but yesterday was more so recapping what it was like to be in Chicago to witness that Michigan State men's basketball win over Michigan, you know, and shout out to Alec Rio, who did a heck of a job helping me out in Chicago. If you missed our report at facebook.com/WKAR News, Alec did all the shooting. Didn't know you had skills like that behind the camera, Alec. Awesome job. I think focal point for, you know, here at Michigan State University has certainly helped you out, man. Awesome. It looked great. Got a lot of compliments on it. If you missed that post-game report, go to Facebook.com/WKAR News to check it out. We were there on the court. I talked about what it was like being on the court, watching that celebration, Kyle Arns and that injury, and how you could hear a pin drop when he went down. And, you know, think about Kyle, too, when he was – because I got a chance to finally – when you're there and you're sitting courtside watching the game, and look, I'm not complaining, but I'm saying – you guys have the best view of the game. Those who are watching it at home, you get all these camera angles and replays. I just saw Kyle go down, and you could hear him wailing from the other side of the court. You could hear a pin drop being there, but I didn't see the actual injury until I got back here in East Lansing and began editing around 2 a.m. here at the WKAR station. But I didn't know that when Kyle was being put on the stretcher, being wheeled to the locker room to undergo x-rays, I didn't know that Kyle was not just, well, I saw him tapping his chest, but I didn't know what he was saying because I heard his, I saw his mouth movement. I didn't know what was coming out of his mouth. And you look at the replay and he was apologizing to his teammates, apologizing to his coaches. I mean, Kyle is a player that has nothing to apologize for. What, you know, playing hard? I mean, Kyle is now done. You know, Izzo noted during his press conference yesterday that he's probably not going to play. Okay, in the locker room talking with Kyle, he said that his ankle was the size of a softball. And I'm just glad, and everybody's glad, that he didn't break the thing, that the x-rays came back negative. But Tom Izzo said it's going to take some, like, miracle cream. That's what he called it, you know. that's what it's going to take in order for Kyle to miraculously be healed and to play in the NCAA tournament, which he probably won't do, okay? But I got to get something off my chest because, you know, we recapped that moment yesterday. We had Anthony Iani in to talk about what it was like watching that game. And then we talked about, and we briefly touched on, how the selection committee totally botched this. And look, and it's just not me saying this. You know, we're here in East Lansing, right here on the campus of Michigan State University. It's easy for anybody to tune into this show and say, okay, well, you know, this is a Michigan State Sports Center sports talk show. You know, of course they're going to be mad. They're griping about this. Of course they are, right? But no, this is a national story that has gained so much traction that began with the bracket coming out moments after Michigan State was cutting down the nets in Chicago for the Big Ten Tournament Championship. I mean, heck, Alec and I, we are driving from Chicago to East Lansing, and we got ESPN Radio on. It's an NBA show that we're listening to called NBA Halftime, and they interrupt the broadcast to vent about Michigan State being not just a 2 seed, but a 2 seed in the same region as Duke. That's how big this story is. You had ESPN cutting in during a NBA show to talk about this. Sports Illustrated has an entire write-up about it. Yahoo Sports sounded off on it. I mean, this is everywhere. And you just don't understand. I don't understand. You don't understand. None of us understands how the committee thought this through and came to this conclusion as to where Michigan State currently is on your respective bracket. So, before we play Izzo's press conference, I'll just kind of summarize a bit of what he had to say to make a few points here. Izzo, when asked about the selection process from the committee, which is made up of 10 athletic directors and conference commissioners, not former players, not any coaches, 10 athletic directors and conference commissioners. When Izzo was asked about the selection process from these 10 individuals, Izzo called it a, quote, moving target. He went on to say that he believes that the College Football Playoff Selection Committee has a better process, which includes former coaches and players. When you look at MSU's resume, and I'm pretty sure you've heard this since Sunday, when looking at MSU's resume and looking at what they call quad one wins, wins against legit competition out there in the world of college basketball, Michigan State had more quad one wins than any Division One team after beating Michigan on Sunday. You want to know how many? 13, folks. 13. More quad one wins than any Division One basketball team here in these United States of America. They won 19 combined quad one and quad two games. That is also the most in the country. And according to KenPom.com, the Big Ten was the top-rated conference. Oh, and on top of that, if that's not enough to convince you about Michigan State's prowess this college basketball year, Michigan State also had the 13th toughest strength of schedule. MSU and Villanova are the only two high major schools to capture both the regular season and postseason conference crowns. Just Michigan State and Villanova accomplished that this season. Nova is a six seed, by the way. So, this is why I said last week, and I argued with many of you after saying this, we went back and forth and had some great sports debate. This is why I said that the Big Ten tournament does not mean a thing. It is a waste of time, a complete waste of time. The way it's set up right now, and I'm not trying to downplay what that moment on Sunday was like, because I was there, I was on the court, I saw the tears from the players, I saw the tears from Coach Izzo. That was a real moment. It was a fun moment, a great moment in Michigan State men's basketball history to do it in Chicago on St. Patrick's Day against your in-state rival who you beat not once, not twice, but three times this season. That was pretty special. But in the grand scheme of things, as it relates to the Big Dance, the tournament that matters, the Big Ten tournament means nothing. That's the statement that the committee was sending. They had this bracket made up on Sunday. I mean, they could care less what happened on Saturday night. They could care less what happened on Sunday. I'm pretty sure they weren't glued to their television. I'm pretty sure that when Michigan probably took that 13-point lead, they probably turned the TV off and said, yeah, I don't see MSU coming back from that. We got our bracket set. We're chilling. You know, there's still a line. I love this line. I was doing some reading this morning, and I told you how SI has an entire write-up on takeaways from the bracket this year. And there's one portion where it, you know, talks about Michigan State and how Michigan State got the short end of the stick, to say it kindly, in this year's tournament. And Michael Beller puts it this way, quote, Sunday's championship games continue to be college basketball's version of a tree falling in the woods with no one around. If a game is played after the committee has kicked up its feet, does it make a sound? I love that. That's poetic writing from Michael Beller of SI. No, Michigan State beating Michigan in the Big Ten Tournament Championship didn't make a sound. I should say that with the exception of those living in Michigan. Other than those who are Michigan State and Michigan fans, that game meant nothing. It's like it didn't even happen. It meant nothing at all. Michigan State, Auburn, and Cincinnati won tournaments on Sunday in leagues that got multiple bids to this year's tournament. Auburn, which knocked off Tennessee in the SEC championship and finished with 17 combined quad one and quad two wins, ended up as a 5 seed. Cincinnati, which beat Houston, a number 3 seed in the ACC tournament final, got a 7 seed. And Michigan State gets the 2 seed, and they have to somehow, some way, find a way to slay the dragon that is top-seeded Duke. fair? I think not. Not at all. And Michigan, my goodness, Michigan won by losing, really. And losing, and then losing again. You know, third time's a charm, right? They really did, because looking at where Michigan is on the bracket, if you're going to do this, if you're going to make Michigan State a two seed, I say that should have been Michigan State instead of Michigan. In that West region where Gonzaga is the weaker of the four number one seeds. That's the most amazing element of Sunday's bracket reveal for me as it relates to the Spartans, is the Michigan team that they beat three times, beating them for the Big Ten regular season title, beating them this past weekend for the Big Ten tournament championship, and Michigan heads to the West region for a possible matchup with the number one seed, that the committee respected least, the Gonzaga Bulldogs. So, for those that did not watch what Bernard Muir, who I believe, Jack, correct me if I'm wrong, he's the athletic director at Stanford. Is that right?
Yes, sir, and quite possibly the most intellectually limited person to ever attend Stanford.
That's a pretty brutal jab right there, right to the gut, right, Jack? When looking at this and hearing what he had to say, I see where you're coming from. I know the point you're trying to make.
A whole bunch of words that didn't make any sense, Al.
I'm with you. I'm with you, dude. You're preaching to the choir right now. The selection committee for the NCAA tournament determined the win over the Wolverines. This is the explanation that Bernard Muir, AD at Stanford, this is how we justified it. They determined that the win over the Wolverines slid Michigan State past Kentucky into the sixth position on the seed list. So, based on their explanation, this makes the Spartans the second strongest two seed behind Tennessee. That meant they would be placed, and get this explanation, quote, their natural and closest region possible. Well, Mr. Muir, Michigan State has been in the Midwest for as long as it's been in Michigan, which is in the Midwest. Muir goes on to say, we don't look at the matchups necessarily. It's more, direct quote here, quote, it's more trying to assign teams to their natural and closest regions.
His nose was actually getting longer as he made that comment.
Right? And you know what? To steal a line from the great Will Smith, I forget what movie it was. I think it was Focus. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. But there's a part in that movie where Will Smith says, look, at some point, you have to die with the lie because you're so far in it. If you came out and said, yeah, we really screwed this up, apologies to Michigan State, it taints the tournament. It really does. There's like there's a stain, and that's always going to be talked about game after game, a panel after panel. You got to die with the lie. You got to say that. Your nose has to extend here, Jack.
No, you're absolutely too far in it. And you know what? Going beyond Michigan State, there were other games that you could tell that they picked matchups based on storylines. You know, the idea that Richard Pitino is going to be playing Louisville, the school his dad used to coach at. The idea that the 5-12 matchup in one bracket is Murray State versus Marquette, so we see Ja Morant versus Marcus Howard. Mm-hmm. These are games that they picked based on matchups.
Exactly. It's like, what is our? It's like they were just sitting like playing a video game, right? Like, oh man, what would be really cool to watch? You know.
And I'm not complaining about the Ja Morant, Marcus Howard. I'm really excited for that showdown. But
that's going to be fun. But this here, this is just clear common sense to me, though. The lack of logic here, the lack of logic is a crime. Michigan State earned the right to be elsewhere by ranking as not the least of the number two seeds, or the second least, but at least the second best. The logical place to put the Spartans, I say the Midwest. I would have loved to have seen, and I think they earn the right to at least be, if you're going to put them as a number two seed, in the Midwest where Michigan is right now. North Carolina is no bargain. You know, the Tar Heels are tremendous, but they were the third of the number one seeds for a reason also. They lost games to half of the teams on the top two lines.
Kentucky's in that bracket as well. They're the two in that one, right? With North Carolina?
I believe
that's
so.
That's a tough draw as well. Kentucky exactly, got a tough one.
But still, it's you know, when you look at this, Jack, I think that even though it is a tough portion, that's a tough region to be in, I should say, it's easier than where Michigan State is.
No question.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's definitely easier than where Michigan State is right now. And then this whole, you know, you talk about the lie, right? Dying with the lie. Bernard Muir goes on to talk about, you know, that they wanted Michigan State to be in. It was a geographical thing. And Izzo had a great line yesterday and said, look, man, you know, we're in the world of the Jetsons now. You know, technology's through the roof. We can hop on a plane. And what's an extra few miles? I mean, my gosh. You know, I brought up how if you look at, go to Apple Maps, folks, for iPhone users out there, or go to MapQuest online. You'll discover that it is 591 miles from East Lansing to Washington, D.C., as opposed to 711 miles to, let's say, somewhere like Kansas from East Lansing. That's right. That's only a 120-mile difference. The committee members basically said that the Spartans would rather travel 120 fewer miles and be bracketed to face the tournament's number one overall seed in Duke with Player of the Year candidate. He's already won National Player of the Year, according to Sporting News, Mr. Zion Williamson. 120 miles. 120 miles. All right, that's off my chest now. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll play to you a bit of what Tom Izzo had to say during yesterday's press conference. If you would like to weigh in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR.
Shoulders, no dandruff. Beautiful.
Did Bill Rafferty just say head and shoulders, no dandruff?
Yeah, so it was from the Michigan State game from the weekend.
He said the that
play,
the game?
Yeah, where Matt McQuaid caught Jordan Poole in the air and drew the foul on the three. He caught McQuaid's head and shoulder. So got all head and shoulders, but no dandruff.
Oh,
great
man.
Line, right?
That is awesome. Bill Rafferty, man. I always wonder, because, you know, when they had the NCAA basketball video game, I was a big fan of it, and Bill Rafferty was one of the voices on there, and I was always confused as to what in the world is he saying? Because he was, you know, like, what are you saying? And then when I got older, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. That's his thing. But I didn't like Bill Rafferty when I was little because of the video game. But then I grew up and I'm like, oh man, he's awesome. He's awesome. I love Bill.
He needs to be protected at all costs. You know, I mean, I think about Bill Rafferty the way a lot of people feel about Dickie V. I mean,
yes,
Dickie V is polarizing.
Yeah.
And you either love him or hate him. And a lot of people love Dickie V. I love Bill Rafferty the same way.
Right, right. And also props to Grant Hill. Grant Hill does a really good job on the broadcast as well. He'll give you great insight. He's always cool and smooth. And Jim Nantz, I mean, his voice is like velvet, man. Just smooth, dude.
No question. And you know what? With Raftery, I'm not sure he can do it himself as a color guy. So you're right about Grant Hill providing, you know, analysis. I think, yeah, exactly.
You got to have balance with
exactly.
him, just like with Dickie V. I think they needed the third person with Dickie V. Just like with Bill Walton as well. My gosh, Bill Walton.
Bill Walton is fantastic.
You like Bill Walton?
I love Bill Walton.
That's where we differ there, Jack. I don't know about Bill Walton.
Well, I don't know if I love his analysis, but Bill Walton's just such a comic book character.
Right.
His casual references to his marijuana usage is outstanding to me. It's just, I think Bill Walton's hilarious.
He's definitely funny.
I can't take him that seriously.
You can't, right?
But he's hilarious.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to line one right now. We've got a brother we haven't heard from in quite some time. I'm pretty sure he wants to weigh in on some college hoops talk. Apachu is on line one. What's up, Apachu? How you been, man?
I've been good. Thank you. First of all, I don't feel sorry for MSU, man. They're going to be all right. They got a chip on their shoulder, and I think the whole Big Ten does. I don't appreciate what happened. You could see 6 weeks ago what was trending. The team they got in there now, pretty much that's who they wanted in there. So I think that number one seeds were predetermined as long as 6 weeks ago. And then you have with the incredible marketing of Zion Williams, okay?
Williamson, yeah.
That's the storyline they want. Mm-hmm. And then you have MSU, who beat a team three times, that beat Villanova, that won their conference and also won their tournament, and who also beat North Carolina, number one seed. So I think it's inconsistent. I think it's disrespectful. But I think the media is coming back on the committee, and I think it's embarrassing what they did, and their reputation is in doubt now, or at least their credibility and so forth. That's bad news. And the other thing I noticed was, it seems like right away by I guess they call it the second round, right away Big Ten teams are playing each other. Okay, another injustice, because you try to keep conference teams away from each other as long as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the seeding was carefully done for the marketing purpose. They love Gonzaga, and Gonzaga, to me, they may have beaten Duke. I don't know how they did that, but they did. You got to give credit for that. But they also lost to some teams that I thought were inferior, and they don't play in a conference like the Big Ten. Let's face it, Gonzaga, bring your butts over here to the Big Ten. See if you make 500, you know. And I think there's a big difference there. But it's all about marketing, and that was predetermined, okay. And a lot of it had to do with the platform that Jason Williams and I forget the other guy. I think they're both from Duke, right? They got an incredible platform, and they've been blowing up the ACC all year,
right.
And they do it every year. And it was another guy who did it years ago. But anyway,
you're probably talking about Jay Williams and Jay Billis, right? Right, Pacho?
Yes,
right.
Billis, who was I think All American, maybe Player of the Year, yeah. Whatever. Got to the pros, and he was below average. But anyway, the other thing about. What's the guy named Walt? Who's that announcer we're talking about?
Bill Walton or Bill Rafferty? Walton. Which one? Pick Dickie V, Bill Walton, or Bill Rafferty?
Bill Rafferty. What's the first one? Bill Rafferty?
Yeah, Bill Rafferty. Yeah, that's who we just played.
Rafferty. Yeah, he's cute, but he's not, in my opinion, a great announcer. Bill Walton is an egotist, man. He is. It's not even about the game.
Right.
Okay. If you want somebody cute, or go to a comedy show. I want to learn something about basketball.
Right.
And he's all about himself and how articulate and intellectual he is, how well read, how he's traveled the world, so forth and so forth. He don't talk about the Seminese Liberation Army that he was indirectly connected to. You know, that dude should be in prison right now. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm unimpressed with him as far as that's concerned. Is he sharp? Yeah, that was one of the greatest inside players I've ever seen in my life. Probably the best rebounder I ever seen my life. But as far as I don't want to hear about his life.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
Bill
what I'm saying? I don't want to hear about him. You know, it's about the game. The game is beautiful. And Grant Hill, he is good. He is very, and he's a Dookie, man, and I hate Dookies. You know, when he came to the Pistons, I wouldn't watch the Pistons. You know, he was
really?
A Dookie. And
okay.
But as far as the non's concerned, he's good. So I'm getting to like that dude, man. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. I'm looking forward to the tournament. I think we can make a statement in tournament if it's real that we were the best.
Let's go.
We're the best conference yet. You know, the best team in the best conference.
Right.
We've got the most teams. Ain't a number one seed. But anyway, you know, go blue and green.
Thank you so much,
Apache.
You got it. That was an awesome call. And Apache actually took another one of my points, because I wanted to also note how, if you look at the region where Michigan State is in the East, Michigan State could be playing more Big Ten games, Jack. I mean, you got Michigan State may end up playing Minnesota, and they may end up playing Maryland in Washington, D.C.
I think they will play Maryland.
That's crazy, yeah. Right? That's going to be a home game for Maryland. Let me just stop. I'm getting frustrated.
That game's in D.C.?
It's in D.C., dude. It's a home game. There's going to be Terrapin fans everywhere, dude. So, yeah. Line two, Mike from Saginaw. Mike, what's up, man? Mike, do we have you? Mike.
Hello?
Yes, we got you. What's up, Mike? I hope you didn't fall asleep waiting, man.
No, I haven't fallen asleep, man. I appreciate you anyway picking up the phone, man. Thanks for doing it. Anyway, I want to talk about the high school finals there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'd like to talk about Imoni Bates, man. Mm-hmm. I know. Did you get to make it to the game on Saturday?
I didn't. I did not. I watched some of it on television, but I was getting ready to go to Chicago. But I watched some of it on television. The game that really got me riled up, and many in this community were happy about it, but the Pomona-Westphalia matchup against Iron Mountain. Did you watch that ending? Man, I'll have more on that. We're scheduled to have Luke Pohl on the show at some point this week as well, so stay tuned for that. But I hear you, Mike.
I definitely will. I wanted to talk to you. Did the MSU women's team ever play Central Michigan?
No, you're talking about in the – because, you know, they matched up against them in the first round.
Yeah, I know they matched up now. They're going to be playing in Indiana.
Right. Well, this is the first time the two programs will be playing each other since 2005, and the first time that Susie Merchant has ever played them. And she played at CMU. That's her alma mater. So,
okay, that's pretty good. What about Bradley? Did MSU play Bradley, the men's team?
We'll dive more into Bradley. I think Jack Sneveis may have something right now. Jack, when's the last time?
It up, not quite there yet.
Okay, well, let's look it up. We'll look it up and let you know, Mike, but I'm not sure about the history. But I haven't even started previewing that game yet, Mike, but we'll keep you posted, man.
I appreciate that. Like I said, before I let you get to the call and get to the rest of your show, congratulations to Michigan State for finishing first in the Big Ten, winning the regular season and the postseason tournament, and that hadn't been done since 2006. So,
awesome moment,
I congratulate them for that. And I hope Kai Earns get better and be able to make some money playing basketball. That's all I can tell you.
Thank you so much, Mike. Appreciate the call.
Thank you, Al.
Kyle does have one more year of eligibility. But, yeah, you look at it, and in the grand scheme of things, looking where the seeding has placed Michigan State and looking at the region that they're in, you look at the Big Ten tournament and say, man, the only thing we gained is when it's really a loss. You know, we lost Kyle Arnes. And now that's yet another body that Michigan State doesn't have going into the big dance now. So, all right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll play for you a bit of what Izzo had to say during his weekly press conference. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Real quick, I want to open up the mic of Jack Sneveis. Jack, you do have a bit of the history of Michigan State and Bradley. When's the last time they played?
Last time was 2008. It's Michigan State's 4-0 all time. But they did, I remember when I was growing up, I watched them play a road game at Bradley in 2007.
Okay.
Any guesses as to who led the team in scoring that day?
Oh, boy. What year?
2007. Because this was the closest meeting. It was a 5-point win for Michigan State.
I'm trying to think who was on the team at that time.
You're going to kick yourself.
It's an obvious name. 2007.
It's someone you won't remember, but it's an obvious name when I tell you.
Oh, just tell me.
Raymar Morgan.
Oh, Raymar. Yeah. Wow. Okay. How many did he have?
15.
Yeah, 15 that day. Okay.
Yep.
Also getting one comment. Thank you so much for that, Jack.
Absolutely.
At facebook.com/WKAR News. Ben says Kyle might play in the – no, Kyle is not playing in the tournament, Ben. It's impossible, dude. Trust me, have you seen his ankle after the game? Nah, like Izzo said, it's going to take – you got some miracle cream you can give Kyle because it does not – he's not playing. Let's just face that. Face that music right now. Just let that sink in. Kyle Arns would not be playing in the tournament. Okay, Izzo spoke, and I just want to play a few moments here, a few minutes of Izzo's press conference. We'll play the beginning portion as Izzo addresses the seeding and the region of where Michigan State was placed in this year's bracket. Here is Izzo yesterday afternoon.
That's worse.
It's okay, I'm proud.
Excuse my fat. All right. Short and sweet, but I'll give it to you the best I can give it to you. 22 years in this tournament has made me proud. It's a streak that I plan on keeping as long as I'm alive, but it's one of the favorite things we've done. I said the day I got the job that if consistency could play a big part, then I was doing my job, and I think we have. I think it's safe to say that no one will have an easy road, but this team has been and shown tremendous mental toughness and resiliency all year. Seeding and bracket concerns are comparably minor topics when you really look at the big picture. Everyone always spends the first few days talking about the brackets, talking about the seedings, then shazam, the tournament starts and there's 10 upsets in the first 2 weeks and they're a week and a half, sometimes first week, and it all kind of evens out. This is what I've decided that I'm looking at. We are a championship team despite it having the smallest margin of error because we focused on what is immediately in front of us. We're going to do the same and focus on Bradley. On Bradley, I was very impressed as I watched them. I've seen them on TV a couple of times. Didn't watch for it except when they played Loyola, just because Doug Wojcik kid signed at Loyola, so I was interested in watching that game, not thinking that we'd ever play Bradley. But I was impressed. They got some shooters, three of them. They've got a kid named Daryl Brown, who is a strong, Mateen-looking light guard that can really shoot it from long range. A kid named Nate Cannell also shoots it anytime in the building. And a forward named Childs, who I think is long, athletic, 6'7", can do a lot of things, has a great mid-range game. This team also beat Penn State earlier in the year, beat Loyola in their conference tournament. So two teams that I have, you know, great respect for. So never easy in this tournament, and you worry about every single game. But I think at least in a short period of time, we'll be very prepared for Bradley.
Tom, with Kenny and Matt, can you reflect on each of their journey to get to the point where they're really key standout players for you?
Yeah, they've done a hell of a job, you know. I have a guy, as I've told you very often, who lives the game. Matt McQuaid has spent more time in this place than I have, and that's saying a lot. I think he's been a great guy, a great teammate, and a guy who's kind of changed. He's been became a defensive player. His offense has gotten stronger each and every year. He's finally healthy for the last year and a half, and because of that, I think he's improving as a shooter. He wanted the ball yesterday. I thought he passed up a couple in the first half. We let him know that at halftime, and I thought he really hunted some shots in the second half, and we needed to. And Kenny, nobody's maybe been more instrumental other than Cassius in the last 10 games. Now, he didn't play as good the other day, but if you look at his last 10 games, he's had an unbelievable run, both shooting the ball, defending the ball, rebounding the ball. You know, he's been another great teammate. I think this team has been blessed with some good teammates, but those two are two of the best.
You mentioned you want to keep the focus on the short term, but
you know, bigger picture with this draw, where does this rank maybe with some of the other draws that you've experienced for this team, and just what your thought on the whole process is now for this?
Well, maybe that's the most important thing. I'm going to say this once, and I'm going to say it only once today, and then I'm moving on. In April, I might have a lot more comments on it. But, you know, as I looked at there's bracketing principles. And bracketing principles led me to feel that, I have some issues with the overall bracket, but it's probably not quite what you think. I've been a member of the NABC. I've been on the board, which is our governing body, forever. Most of my career here, I've been the president of it and everything else. And our motto is, we're guardians of the game. So this really isn't about Michigan State only. It's about the game. I'm going to say it once. Like I said, as coaches, the selection process continues to be a moving target, which I don't understand. You know, there was years ago that when I think Syracuse didn't get in, they talked about strength of schedule and this and that. And now every year there seems to be something different and more important. This one's everybody's talking about the net.
So again, a bit of what Izzo had to say. We have the entire press conference on our website right now at WKAR.org. If you want to listen to it, it's in its entirety. On tomorrow's Current Sports, we will continue some bracket talk, and we'll look at the entire bracket, and we'll have some takeaways and some tips for you on how to win your respective bracket pool. That and more. We'll see you tomorrow, and be easy, people.